Hi, everybody. Hope you're having a good day again. Pastor Tim Carscott here, Christian Center Shreveport, on our daily podcast. We're dealing with this week on how to remove the enemy from our soul. Pray this is blessing you. Now sit back. Let's get some more truths today for real freedom. Well, you came back. This is the third episode on our topic, removing the enemy. It's not enough to just know how the enemy comes in. We've got to know how to displace him, remove him. And in order to do that, you've got to understand the covenants of God. You've got to understand the price that Jesus paid for this to happen. If you think there's some formula, you know, I'm reading the book. We're all studying the book by Derek Prince, You Shall Expel Demons. You know, we think that, well, okay, if we'll read this book, I can be free. And it can help you. It can guide you. But it has to guide you to the truth that Jesus is enough to do it. And the fact that you're a child of God, we studied that in 1 John 3. If you're a child of God and walking in righteousness, you believe he can do it, then you will walk and manifest righteousness and deliverance in your own life. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't have others pray for us. That's what we're here for. And we do help one another. But I'm telling you, there's enough in Christ in you to deliver yourself in that way. And you're not the deliverer. Understand what I'm saying. Jesus is. But you have the authority through Christ to do it. Who better to do it than yourself? You know, this authority that he's given you to overcome. And we talked yesterday, we started talking about Abram and later becoming Abraham, about how the Lord, you know, told him he would inherit. He'd have an inheritance. You know, I'm going to give you this. And it wasn't enough. Abram wanted more than just a promise. He wanted a covenant. And when God created a blood covenant for him, he began to walk in a new truth that Jesus was willing to sacrifice something innocent to bring purity to something that's guilty. And we've all been guilty of sinning. We have opened the doors to the enemy of our lives. We all have. And so we are guilty. So we need a blood covenant to cover us, which is Jesus on the cross. Abraham did it in a different way, but and for us, it was him on the cross. Abraham saw it in the future, but this is where we are. That removes that guilt and removes that issue and now demands God's justice. Because when Jesus died and paid a price, and we believe in that covenant, it is a justice issue then that the enemy has to be removed. He has no choice. He has no ability to stay when it's fully believed in and it's fully applied. You know, in this rule of God, there's of what God did for us. You know, it started with Abram in Genesis 12. You know, he says to them, I'm going to bless you and make you great, but I'm going to curse those who curse you. And it says all of us families in the earth are going to be blessed by this grace that God gave to bless and curse. Okay, so listen to what I'm saying. So the Abrahamic covenant is a judicial issue. When he says, I will curse those who curse you. You know, I guess the question would be, did he necessarily mean he would destroy the enemies that way? If we stand on that covenant, and we have to say, I believe he will. You know, in Genesis 20, Sarah is in the Abimelech's tent, and God visits Abimelech, and he says to him there in verse 7, he says, now, therefore, restore the man's wife, for he is a prophet, and I will pray for you, and you shall live. But if you do not restore her, if you do not do this restoration, he says, know that you shall surely die, and all who are yours. So if we're so valuable that Jesus died for us and gave himself for us, you know, then that means he will kill to preserve us. And in killing, you know, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but we war against, you know, powers and principalities. And we know that physical death to a spirit being is not going to happen, but he'll kill the effect that the enemy has against us. So if God's willing to cut off you know, that issue in Abraham's life, how much more is he going to do it for you? Because that's the covenant that Galatians 3:29 says, that if we're in Christ, we are heirs, right? we receive this Abrahamic covenant according to the New Testament, that we have the right to ask God to destroy, remove, cut off our enemy. Okay, the scripture, I mean, when Jesus told us to turn the other cheek, it's a weapon, but we approach, you know, this time, there's a biblical approach, you know, balanced approach. We got to look. We can't just let the enemy slap us around. We have got to understand that there's a balance in this, and that the Lord promised to do this for us. And these are things that we've got to understand that is part of what he has given us. There are many enemies to what God has for you, and they have to be cut off in order for you to possess what Jesus has promised for your life, the prophetic destiny over your life. If the enemy is allowed to reside and to have effect on your decisions and how you walk out your life, we've got to understand that has to be removed. You know, another key, it was David's heart cry when he cried out for this justice. And it's promised to us in the book of Revelation. But he cried out that, God, you would bring justice in my life. Look at the Psalms. I mean, he's always crying. David's always crying out for justice. What? Justice from what? From what the enemy was devouring, what the enemy had done to Israel, what the enemy had done to his soul. And he demanded justice, not on his own works, but he was crying out to God, whom he believed in, which attributed to him righteousness, that he would call out to God and say, God, you got to remove this enemy from my life. You got to look, it's wrong that you have given us these promises and the enemy is keeping us from these promises. Now, Lord, I cry out for your mercy and I cry out for your justice. Okay, how many of y'all are praying for that? You know, you're praying that that would happen. You know, it should move us from a place where we get born again, we get saved, and we move then into justice, which is that we refusal to allow the enemy to do that. And if we don't repent of our sin, then we're not going to invoke the justice of God. So that one of the keys of removing the enemy is just to repent. Turn from your wicked way. Go back to the Lord. Embrace the heart of the Father. And realize how much he loves you. That's the story of the prodigal, right? You know, the prodigal failed. You know, he lost everything. Then he humbled himself. You know, his repentance was, you know, I'm sorry for getting caught. That's not what he said. He said, man, if I could just get back in the house. If I could get, and think about that. If I could just get back in the house of God. And, you know, when his heart was that way, he wasn't coming back on his conditions. Oh, you know, I'll come back in, but my daddy better do this and this and this. Otherwise, I'm not staying. I'll go back out into the world again. No, he broke himself and was just thankful to be back in the house of God. That's what a true repentant prodigal looks like. And we have sinned and we have a prodigal spirit on us at some level when we've allowed the enemy to reside within us. So when we come back and say, Lord, I just want to come into your house, that's what repentance is. And when you do what that prodigal did, and the father ran to him, embraced him before he even got to say, I'm just willing to serve you, Lord. And that's what the heart of the Father is. And that, when you experience that kind of acceptance, and what did he do? He put him the mantle on him. He gives him a ring. He gives him authority. And this guy had screwed up. He allowed the enemy to take residence within his soul. And because he repented and came with a broken heart to his father, the father fully accepted him and gave him back his heirship, his inheritance. So your repentance of the covenant of what Jesus did for us brings you back into that covenant. I hope you're getting that. You know, as the gospel is preached to all nations, you know, there's a requirement for repentance. And what his requirement is that justice comes. You know, the government is not going to bring justice. You've got to stop. Whatever nation you're listening to, especially Americans, we keep looking to the government to bring justice. You know, the other day I was a young man, or not a young man, he's older than me. Well, we're all young. You know, he was asking me about, you know, some of these politicians that are corrupt and they're on the news all the time, you know. He says, you know, because he knows I'm involved in praying and working in the political arena. Do you think they're going to jail? Do you think they're going to get caught? And you know, and his hope is, because he's listening to all this talk radio and television, is that these guys are going to go down. And you know, my gut feeling is they will not go down, because government is not going to bring justice to that, because there's corruption. It abounds on both sides in America, on both sides of the party, on parties. And so there's so much injustice there. How can they be ones who brings justice when they're doing unjust things themselves? And so we can't look to the world system to bring this divine justice. What the enemy has brought against us, the Holy Spirit is going to begin to remove this thing. And so we've got to really understand that this repentant act on ourselves, for ourselves, is what's going to bring the freedom. So the church has been too busy turning the other cheek and not asking for this victory that Christ died for us. I'm not saying we don't follow that commission, but we have more to receive. That's what Galatians 3:26 through 29 says. It says, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you are baptized into Christ and have put on Christ, there's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither slave nor free, there's neither male nor female, for you are one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." That's the best answer you can have. We must understand, if we do anything wrong, he makes it right through a covenant. And this belongs to us who are in Christ. So we have access to this covenant that guarantees God himself will move on our behalf and remove the enemy. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. So just receive this breakthrough today. Now, I'm trying to put truth in you, because once you know the truth, you're set free. If you don't know it, then you're going to be bound and thinking that the enemy has a foothold in your life and that he cannot be removed. But I'm telling you today, I'm encouraging you, we're going to remove the enemy from our souls. We're going to get freedom from the things that have been assessing us and oppressing us and coming against us and causing us to have cycles of sin in our life. And we're going to get him out of our soul, and we're going to walk through Christ in the righteousness. Okay. Join us again tomorrow. See ya.